Lord Jesus, we give you all the thanks and praise to you. Every time we gather, it is your special mercy and grace. And as we begin again, we do pray that you would use the precious blood of the Lamb to cover all things. We do pray for this gathering and that all things would be subjected beneath you and that the church may be fully fitted with all of your armor, that there would be no individual purpose here, but that we do desire after your glorious appearing. And in that day, Lord, we will encounter many circumstances which we cannot imagine. But Lord, for the foundational learnings and basics, we do pray that you would provide for us. Lord, we look to you to open up the windows of heaven to us. Lord, how we need your provision so that there would be no hindrance and obstacle. Lord, do bind up all the enemies and all the schemes of the enemy. We pray that you yourself would bind all of those forces. We look to you. Do give us all the grace and mercy upon your saints, Lord, because if it were not for your sufficient grace and your almighty hand which holds us, Lord, how could we gather often? It is not something we can attain to, but Lord, we thank you. Your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, your power is made perfect in such weak vessels like us. And so we pray that with your unlimited grace and your unlimited mercy, do hold fast to every saint and all things. Lord, in this gathering, in the hidden places, may we have spiritual training. And Lord, we look to you. Do bless every opportunity that we have to pursue you. We look to you. May you yourself prepare your people with your provisions. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Do give our brother, son, as well as all brothers and sisters who enter into this fellowship, may you give us the power from above and the provision of the Holy Spirit, and may you do move in our midst. May your sound not only bring that resounding sound, but Lord, may you show us your glorious appearing and provide for us in our life. We pray that you would reveal yourself. For this meeting, we place it into your glorious hands. And in this meeting, for the brothers and sisters who are not as familiar, as we enter in, may there be no unfamiliarity in the spirit. Lord, even though in our connections on earth, we are not familiar with one another, but together as we come before you, do bring us into the joy of your presence. Bring us into the provisions of your presence. May all brothers and sisters who come together, may we all be clearly encouraged for this gathering from the beginning to the end, from the very start to however it ends, Lord, we place it into your hands. You are the head. You are the beginning of all things, as well as our trust and reliance. Lord, we do commit all things to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you. As brothers and sisters, we have such an opportunity to gather. Lord, it is not by coincidence. You have placed us all together. And together we look to you. Together we seek you and we ask for your presence. May every heart be separated so that we may truly come to understand that which you desire. From the elderly all the way to the youngest, Lord, we all have this strong desire that in your presence, before you return, we would be a group of people who please you, be a group of people who satisfy your heart, and that we may receive your entrustment. For today's gathering, we place it into your hands. Be with us. in every aspect, please protect it. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Dear Lord, we thank you. In those years when you came to earth, you called man and you gained man. Together with all our brothers and sisters, we come now into your presence, particularly for the burden of our elderly brother. Lord, we do pray that you would gain man to be given to you. Lord, in these last days, in your work, Lord, you want to gain us. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, our hearts fall prostrate before you and worship you. And together, as brothers and sisters, as we gather online, we place the following time in your hands. May your spirit move freely among us. May you yourself reveal yourself to us as we pursue. Lord, we want to gain you. We pray that you would gain us. And on earth, Lord, we want to come to know your will. Lord, we want to follow in your footsteps. We pray that you would bless this following time. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you. In your grace, we can once again gather in your presence. And in this meeting, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us, to attract us, so that together we would all run quickly after you. Lord, do gain us. We pray that we would be the useful vessels in your hands. Lord, do speak to us, work in us. We thank you. We gather together in your presence. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. Dear Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I know that you are with us. You have not forsaken us. And together we praise you. And together as one man, we gather in your presence. Lord, how you have given us such great grace. You remember us. We are your people. We belong to you. And Lord, we are the people who are called by your name. And there is still so much work you want to do upon us. And so, Lord, you have established this covenant with us. You are our God who have established this covenant with us. I worship you. I praise you. Lord Jesus, gain us. I truly want to worship you. I want to give you all the praise. You are so faithful, and you are now with us. And now in these last days, you reveal yourself to us. I bow my head to worship you. We are all here. We give you our hearts. You are most worthy of this. I want to give you all the glory, honor, praise, and the kingdom, all to you until forevermore. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord, before your return, we know that you still give us opportunity so that we can pursue you. And from our hearts, we want to give you all the worship. We know the desperation of the time, the urgency of the time. Your return is so near. We want to treasure this amount of time. And between brothers and sisters, we want to have mutual encouragement through your spirit, through the light of your word. Do lead and guide us. And that in this last amount of time and path, we want to have a true and real gaining and change. Lord, we want to have a better condition than before. We want to be better prepared so that we can welcome your return. Lord, we don't know what to do, but may your spirit be here to guide us so that our hearts may receive of your abundant grace. Lord, we thank you. In this gathering, Lord, we do place it reverently into your hands. Give us a good beginning here, so that all brothers and sisters, no matter where we are, we may all be in your grace and presence. Thank you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. I thank the Lord. Brother Sun is now speaking. I thank the Lord that now we have this new period of time where we can have this pursuit before the Lord. I'm not too sure how long this period of time will be, but we will use the book of Colossians as well as the book of Ephesians. To be a ruler or a standard. And then after we finish these two books, it will be perhaps one stage or one period of time. So don't worry. It's not going to be 8 to 9 years. We won't stretch it out that long. But I do hope, brothers and sisters, that in our pursuit, that our pursuit will become more and more real and practical. That our condition will turn into something that's more real. And so I do think this time we will have this particular goal. It'll be different from before. I'm going to use Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians 3:12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." In this phrase, that latter portion is very good. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Basically, I want to gain more of Christ. We want to come to know him more. We want to experience him more. Paul's words, let's turn it around and say, we want to have this ambition that, Lord, gain hold of me. This is my goal. So all brothers and sisters, place this upon yourself. Brothers and sisters, think about it. You have been saved for so many years. How much has the Lord gained hold of you? I truly acknowledge the Lord hasn't gained that much. Of course, we as a person, our entire person has been saved. Our salvation is for our entire being, but for the Lord within us, how much has he gained a hold of? It's not that much. And so this time, we want to use Paul's desire and ambition that we press on. What do we press on for? For him to gain hold of us. This is a privilege. I want to use a most basic illustration. For example, today you want to enter into an Ivy League school or a famous company. And one day, all of a sudden, you gain this notice. You have been accepted. Won't you be so happy? You'd be terribly happy. You have entered into an Ivy League school. You are going to start a company that's very famous. But for a company to receive you, there are some qualifications that you need to meet. Yes, they are willing to accept you. And in this world, we do all hope for such a pursuit, but in spiritual things, we also need to have the same ambition. So from today on, we need to set this goal. We want the Lord to lay hold of us more. We want to move on, press on forward. We know that for Paul, yes, he loves the Lord. He wants to gain more of the Lord, right? And in Philippians chapter 3, here it tells us, not only this, but he wants the Lord to lay hold of more of him. Brothers and sisters, if we have such an attitude, then in our pursuit, we may have a change. And so as we begin, we want to set this direction for our pursuit this time. This is our goal. So brothers and sisters, if you forget, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Read it several times. Memorize this verse. I press on that I may lay hold of. we see Paul here. It's not that he has complete goal here, but he says, it's not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Yes, I completely belong to him, but in my experience, every single portion needs to be gained by the Lord. Even Paul, he doesn't have this full 100% assurance, but he presses on, press on. So together, brothers and sisters, I want to mutually encourage you. We press on so that the Lord may lay hold of more of me. And so now that we have set this direction, I have already mentioned to brothers and sisters that our pursuit this time has four lines or four lanes as we move forward. And these four lanes or four paths, first, we will pursue after having a good spiritual habit. We need to have good spiritual habits in our daily life. I'm going to spend more time today to explain this. Secondly, we need to be more familiar with the Bible. This time, we're going to put our attention upon two very important books of the New Testament. One is Colossians, the second is Ephesians. We need to read these two books until they're very, very familiar to us. This is incredibly important. We need to be familiar with Scripture. We're going to focus on these two books, and we hope that from it, we can truly see what Paul sees, that which God wants us to see. We're going to spend time to read the Bible. We said before, we encourage those who are 50 and below to memorize. I want to tell you something. I'm really thankful. My wife, she is 70 years old this year. When she heard that we require brothers and sisters to memorize, she began to start memorizing. And she wants to memorize it to me these days. And she said, give me 10 minutes. I'm going to memorize it to you. And I said, yes, okay. She has memorized about 95% in chapter one. It's not easy, right? She's 70 years old and she's using effort to memorize. And today she said, I am very, very familiar. Can I memorize it to you? I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. My wife, I'm going to use her as an encouragement. So young brothers and sisters, you don't have any excuse. A 70-year-old has memorized this. If you're in your 20s and 30s, use effort to memorize God's words. This will definitely be a benefit to you. And later on, I'm going to speak more of this. Perhaps you say my memory is not good. Some people say their memory is very good. They read it a few times and they've got it memorized. For me, I have to read it at least 10 times and I still haven't memorized it yet. But I can tell you, when I was young, I had used effort to memorize. There's a huge difference between those who have memorized and those who have not. Even though your memory isn't so good, please memorize. Even if you cannot, still memorize. It will be of great benefit to you. And then later when I explain and expound on the scriptures, it will be of great benefit to you. So brothers and sisters, we have a 70-year-old sister here who has already begun to memorize. So if you're in your 50s and 60s, you have no excuse to push this off. I hope everyone will strive. Brothers and sisters, in these passages, I will expound and explain. In the book of Colossians and Ephesians, I will give you the main points. I pray the Lord will give me grace so that I could speak it very clearly to brothers and sisters, to give you a clear impression. But of course, this, we rely upon the Holy Spirit. It's not that I have any assurance, but I look to His grace. And so I'm going to speak on this first. And then thirdly, We need to learn to follow the teaching of the anointing. We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within us. And in this requirement, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how old or how young, you can do it. Take a book, a journal, a notebook, and pay attention to this matter and record things down. If you don't write things down, you'll be very careless. If the Holy Spirit moves you and you just let it pass. But now if you write it down and you record down every time the Holy Spirit has led you, within a day, of course, I'm not asking you to keep a diary, but write down the times the Holy Spirit, the anointing has moved you. Write down that matter. Don't be careless. And I'm not asking you to preach either. Write down in the very practical aspects of your daily life. Write it down. Have a story. Brothers and sisters, we all know that when I was young, the story of me when I ran a red light when I was young at that intersection, I can tell you very clearly that whole story of what happened. And then I can tell, brothers and sisters, a testimony, a story of what had happened to me. I don't want you to tell me how you followed in logic and in thinking how you followed the teaching of the anointing. No, in very practical terms. I don't want you to preach. I want you to tell me a story. Record it down. Write it down. This is very important. And fourthly, this fourth path. Perhaps through the experiences of brothers and sisters in the past, if there are some good messages, there's many messages and many good books. We want to use a little bit of time with greater clarity. There are so many of these good messages. We don't want to pull all of them, but the very good ones that have good influences upon us, the really good books. We want to be very careful. Do forgive me. If I find that there's not much value in that, we're not going to mention those. I do believe brothers and sisters have read many books, but the really good classics, those that are most valuable, we want to introduce these to brothers and sisters. So along these four paths, we're going to pursue before the Lord. Now, apart from my explanations, in our gathering, we need to have some practical training. For example, today, because today is the first meeting, so I'm going to share a little bit more. I need to speak and be very clear about these things. Starting from April, this is how we will use our time. First, we're going to memorize scripture. I've already told the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, because they have many young people there, that they will memorize chapter 1. April, they will memorize chapter 1. Of course, online, it's difficult for us to memorize it together. So may they first record their memory work. You cannot read it. You must memorize it. Reading does not count. So Brother Andrew, please do guide and supervise. They need to memorize chapter 1, record it. And then in April, at the beginning of our meeting, we're going to play that recording. And then all brothers and sisters in various locations, mute yourself and follow along in your memory, in your memorization, Chinese and English together. We're all going to memorize together. Elderly brothers and sisters, of course, you have no limitations here. If you truly have difficulties in your memory, then just follow along in reading. But no need to turn on your microphone. Just follow as you read. And all brothers and sisters, if you can memorize, memorize it. We want to see how many brothers and sisters have really used effort to do this. And again, I want to encourage brothers and sisters, this is truly worth it. It's very much worth it to be familiar with God's word. And then we're going to have some time to ask brothers and sisters in various locations, in this matter of following the teaching of the anointing, if you have had good experiences and very clear stories and testimonies. And I want to say it in this way so that you can be clear. We are not here to preach. If you preach, I will interrupt you. I will cut you off. Tell us a story. Just tell the story. I hope that brothers and sisters in all locations collect these stories. If you know that there are a few stories, as we continue on, in your locality, every week, be in connection with one another. Listen to their testimonies. If there are some very good testimonies, I encourage brothers and sisters that next time we're going to ask them to share the testimony. Please limit it to between 5 to 10 minutes. You do not need to share for 30 minutes. Limit it. Do watch the time, because our time is very limited. So we do need to watch it carefully. Perhaps, as brothers and sisters have really experienced some good things, and you want to introduce this book, you can also share this book with us. I encourage brothers and sisters to read. And so, generally speaking, this is our direction as we pursue and move forward. And this is the way or the method and my simple introduction to it. And as we continue on, of course, there will be many important points. And then we will also add that in as well. And so I do ask brothers and sisters, please remember, we want to pursue after how the Lord can lay hold of us more along these four paths. In every single pursuit, we hope that God will gain more of me. Now, when it comes to the Lord's service, for man, for God to gain more of man is very important. See companions as well. We need companions to be mutually encouraged. Brothers and sisters, also encourage those around you to also pursue. Let's try that through this amount of time, we want to see whether or not that there will be some brothers and sisters can be more useful in God's hands and to be able to express more of your life function and to be changed. So this is my introduction as we begin today. So today, I want to share with brothers and sisters a process of developing good spiritual habits. Why do we need to pursue after having good spiritual habits? Here, after a Christian is saved, we need to live a spiritual life. We all know this, that our spiritual daily life is very important. And so here, first off, I want to share with brothers and sisters, in our daily lives, there are four important keys. Four keys we need to remember. First is life. God has given to us life. You have new life. And once you have the Lord's life, you can live the spiritual life. Secondly, not only do you have life, but you need to have a living. You have life, so you have the life of a human. You need to have daily living. You have life and living. And then the third key, you have the living, then you need to have habits. You need to have daily habits. Every single person have their own habits. your habits will influence your living. To have a good life, you need to have good daily habits. First off, I want to say that in your habits, it cannot produce life, but it can change your living. Why do you need to pursue after good habits? So that your spiritual life can become good. And then the fourth key, to have good habits, you need to have good training. All good habits come out of good training. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells us that physical exercise is good, but for our spiritual life, we need to have discipline and training. If you read all the way through to the New Testament and you look for this word habit, it's very rare. It's very rare that you will find this word habit. And oftentimes when it speaks of habits, it talks about bad habits like laziness. It speaks about gossip. It talks about that a lot. However, but habits, it's very interesting. This phrase, habits, it encompasses these meanings of exercise. This word habits has the word discipline in it. You need to have discipline and you need to be taught. You need to learn. You need to exercise, you need to learn, you need to train, be disciplined. All have to do with habits. In the Bible, God emphasizes life. God never has established something that is set, because often the things that are set will become tradition. What God wants is life, something that is living. We need to remember this as we pursue. I will explain. Because in the church today, many people use dead habits to teach people. A dead form or a dead habit is not what God desires. What God wants are living experiences, not dead habits. However, in our living, we will have habits. So these four important keys, I want to give it to you. And now let's go a little bit even deeper in our sharing. Of course, we know that in our daily life, it follows according to what God has given to us in his creation. There are many living creatures in this world. Every creature has its own life, and in that life, it will have its living. We don't need to talk about how as man, we have man's life and we live a human life. A monkey will live a monkey's life. A monkey will not live a human life. We are all very clear about this. And so in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that when God created all things are according to its own kind. That tells us all creatures, all things have its own life, and it is according to its own kind. Whatever life it was given, that is type of living it will express. This is a very clear principle that the Bible gives us. So as a Christian, now that we have God's life, we have the Lord's life. So now we can live a spiritual life. Where's our difficulty? Because we have this old fallen life within us. And within that old life, we're very comfortable. We're very used to it. We don't really pay attention to the new life. And so God, he really emphasizes the growth of the new life. He pays attention to the growth of the new life. And he desires that now that we have the new life, we will live a new living. This life that he has given to us is so abundant. I just want to simply mention it. This life encompasses all the fullness of the nature of God. So in our daily living, we can also live out that abundance. But brothers and sisters, there is something within us that has a great influence. It is the matter of our habits. God doesn't want a dead form, but our habits have a very deep influence upon us. And so in our spiritual life, in order to have a good growth, there are some outward qualifications as well as inward. The outward qualifications, I don't need to go on. Of course, you need to have good protection. You need to have good discipline, good life, good hygiene. These are all things that influence our physical outward life. The same for our spiritual life. Some people's environments are very poor. For example, if you're in a place of poor spiritual atmosphere and you try to grow there, of course, it will affect your spiritual growth. These are outward qualifications, but what are the inward qualifications? These are the matters of your habits. Let me give you a very simple example and you will understand. Some people, their health is very poor. It's easy for them to get sick. Not only is it because of the outward influence or the environmental circumstance, but we know that bad habits have also a great impact on us. Bad habits will cause us to have poor health. And so it's easy for you to be sick. Brothers and sisters, I also have a deep feeling about this because I don't have good daily habits. So oftentimes I feel that, yes, it is the Lord's grace and mercy upon me. Because we know that in to have a good condition of our daily life, you need to eat well, right? You can't eat a bunch of junk food and then you'll have bad health. Of course, you need to have the habit of exercise. Some people exercise and have this habit up to today. When I was young, I really liked to exercise, but now that I'm older, I really don't want to move. Sometimes my wife, she would nag at me, and I said, yes, bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. So now I'm trying to exercise godliness. But yes, we still need to train our bodies. Our brothers tell us, yes, there's still some benefit. Even though it's little profit, it doesn't mean there's no profit whatsoever. Sometimes we don't have this habit of exercise. Also, we need to have the habit of sleep. If you don't sleep well, it's also a big problem. Today, many brothers and sisters tell me that they have problems sleeping. When you don't sleep well, it really impacts your life. So here, brothers and sisters, when your health is poor, sometimes it's not exactly the attack of germs and bacteria, but it has to do with your daily habits. If you change your daily habits, you will become much healthier, right? Among us, many brothers and sisters, they do emphasize their daily exercise and daily habits, and they're very careful about what they eat. I can tell you as well, you can train yourself in your sleep too. I thank the Lord. Even today, my sleep is very good. And of course, sleep has something to do with spiritual discipline as well. If you want to have good health, we know that there's many habits that you need to change. And so in spiritual things, it's the same. Brothers and sisters, we look to the Lord. We look to His grace. And if, again, I want to remind brothers and sisters, in our spiritual growth, what the Lord wants is that which is living, not that which is dead. In our habits, oftentimes it is dead works, and that's not good. We need to have something that is living. So brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible, you'll find it's amazing. Regarding this aspect of spiritual habits, there are several scripture we can use to try to explain this. But if you look at it very carefully, when you look at characters in the Bible, from their lives, you can perhaps find out some spiritual habits from them. We find for God to change us to have a good spiritual life, sometimes God will change our spiritual habits. He is very willing to do this. Let me give you an example. Abraham. Brothers and sisters, look at Abraham. Previously, he lived in Ur of Chaldees. And in our hearts, we think, why did God want him to leave Ur? Why did he need to move to Canaan? Of course, in the middle, God had his glorious purpose behind it that was controlling all of it. But have you ever paid attention that through this change, God was changing Abraham's daily life, his life habits? Perhaps many brothers and sisters haven't noticed this. God needed to change his daily habits. God, why couldn't you change Abraham's habits in Ur and teach him there? But God knew that in Ur, there he had daily habits, that God could not change this person in that place. Now, when Abraham was in Ur, what were his habits? He had the habit of worshiping idols. That was his habit. You know, for us Chinese, brothers and sisters, many Christians, and also those in India, after they were saved, sometimes they still have the habit or the thought of worshiping idols in their mind. When I was young, I saw some older brothers and sisters in their spiritual life without realizing they had some thoughts of worshiping idols and habits within them. Why? Because they were so accustomed in that environment. They had been influenced by their environment, and so it was their habit. God knew that if Abraham did not leave Ur, then he would not be changed from his habits of worshiping idols. So first, God had to take him out of that habit of worshiping idols. And then once he went into Canaan, now his life became much simpler. Wasn't it so? In Ur, his life was very complicated. Like for many brothers and sisters today, in our environments, we have so much complications of the things we eat, the things we use. Let me remind young brothers and sisters, because many of us, we're very used to playing video games and all day long. We're used to gaming on our phones, and then it becomes a habit. Brothers and sisters, people tell us that throughout this whole world, the majority of people are always bent over looking at their phones. A lot of people on the streets, their heads are always bent down looking at their phones. And as soon as people open up their eyes in the morning, they're looking at their phones. And apart from your phone, you can't go on. Brothers and sisters, do you have this feeling that without your phone, you can't live? It's because you have this habit that no matter where you go, you're like that. Dear brothers and sisters, young ones, may the Lord show us grace. We cannot allow these bad habits to influence us to such a point that when you have time, you go online, but you have no time to pray. You have time to go online, but no time to go to the meeting. And in the meeting, your heart is still beating so hard thinking about the things online. I know many young people today, in this aspect, regarding the fashion of this world, the currents of this world, you have been influenced and you are in bondage. And so, because God wanted Abraham to be able to live a heavenly life, he needed to change his daily habits. Many brothers and sisters, when we read the story of Abraham, we read this. When he went into the wilderness, Abraham became very simple. Everything became much easier. Now he just lived in a tent. Why did the Lord want him to just simply live in a tent? Of course, in the spiritual meaning, it tells us that the tent is a person who is an alien, a stranger. He's just passing through. He has no roots here on earth. At any point in time, the tent can move. When God wanted him to move, he moved. And so he moved many times in the land of Canaan. It's very easy with a tent to move a house. It's not easy. We all live in houses now, and we're used to it. Previously, in Ur of Chaldees, Abraham perhaps lived in a big house, but now God wanted to change his life. He was changing his life habits and his lifestyle. Previously, it was to make idols. Now he's a shepherd. You can all understand this. His lifestyle needed to change. If in the old days, you go and interview and seek after Abraham in his tent, next to his tent, there was an altar. If you were to go visit him, you would find that Abraham now started to live a life of altars, building altars. Previously, he worshiped idols. Now he was living the life of an altar. Now we also come to understand, what is the life of an altar? He now comes to trust, rely upon God. Brothers and sisters, when we rely on God, it's also a habit. Many brothers and sisters, only in the meeting you think of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, in your daily life, you need to rely on the Lord and not on yourself. This is a good habit. God, upon Abraham, wanted us to see that God wants to change man's lifestyle and life habits. This heavenly life now needs to have heavenly habits. It needs to cooperate with heavenly ways so that your life could be beautiful. I truly admire, after some brothers and sisters, they have very good spiritual habits. To this day, in this aspect, I feel so much regret before the Lord, but I need to say that this takes discipline. It's not you just say it and you have it. So I want to encourage brothers and sisters, I hope that you can have spiritual discipline. Let me give you another example from the individual to the corporate. We know of how Israel left Egypt. Why did God want the Israelites to leave Egypt? From Joseph, when he entered into Egypt, when his whole family went there, there was about 400 some years, approximately 400 years that they lived in Egypt. You can imagine, after 400 years, quickly, their daily lives had changed. Like for some of us, the elderly ones, they were much older when they came to America. And now for us, we're half Americans and half Chinese. But for those who are born here in the U.S., their lifestyle is completely American because they grew up here in this environment. So their thoughts, their daily habits and likings are different from us. It's because of the environment. You can imagine the Israelites. Now they were in Egypt for 400 years. The Jewish people now became Egyptians. Of course, we cannot change their position of being God's chosen people, but their daily habits were all Egyptian. We are all clear about this. So what did God need to do? He needed to take Israel out of Egypt. In this salvation, there is a very, very important point. God needed to change their old habits and have them leave it. So the New Testament tells us that the old man, and then there's a new man. If you live in the habits of the old man, how can you be in the new man? So today we need to live in the condition of being a new man. We need to put on the new man. And so we see God upon the Israelites. He needed to do this great change. He needed to move them from the most fertile plains of Egypt. Even though they were doing slave labor, yet they had leeks and they had garlic and onions, and meat was free, fish was free. Even though their days were difficult, and yet their living was okay. It's just like us here in America. We complain. We have so much forced labor, slave labor. We work for 10, 11 hours in our work days, but we can live in a comfortable house. We can drive a good car. We have good food to eat. We are so full of paradox and conflict. It was the same for the Jews. It was also full of conflicts for them. In such a life, you want to live a spiritual life, it's too hard. So brothers and sisters, today in church life, we are influenced by the world. And so we need to change. If you do not change your habits, you will have no hope as an individual. And also, there's no hope to the church. It's not that every day you go to a meeting and now you have hope. No, brothers and sisters, you need to understand God's will. He needed to move all of Israel out of Egypt. Where does he need to move them to? Into the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, we know that God has his great thought here to change Israel, to change their daily living. He needed to use the wilderness. And then after they were in the wilderness, everything changed, how they lived, their daily habits, their lifestyle, their clothes. It was different from how they were clothed in Egypt. Even the food that they ate, there was a great change there. If you read the book of Leviticus, every time I read that, I thank the Lord we live in the New Testament time. We are so blessed. If you live in the Old Testament, those days were tough. You see how the priests, when they taught the Israelites, it was in such detail. Today we know that you needed to separate the hooves and those who chewed the cud. Those that did not chew the cud, you could not eat. And among the birds, the fowl, you could not eat of that bird, the unclean birds, to such a point that when you were in the wilderness, they were constantly reminiscing about their life in Egypt. And they were complaining all the time. Back in Egypt, we lived so well. We had garlic and onions and leek. And here, every day we eat this manna. There's no flavors, completely distasteful to us. Have you ever complained as a Christian? Sometimes it's the same way. We pursue to such a point we've like, there's no flavor. We'd rather go into the world. Let's go watch a movie. Let's go play ball. Let's eat something good. And then we feel so full of joy. It's because of our flesh. I remember when I was in Taiwan, there was a brother. He was very scholarly and he came to know the Lord. One day he told me, he regretted becoming a Christian. I said, what? Why do you regret becoming a Christian? He said, if I did not believe in the Lord today, there's so many things I can enjoy of in the world. But now that I have believed in the Lord, I do not have those things. I've eaten manna to such a point that there's no more flavor in my mouth. So why did God need to do this? He needed to change their daily lifestyle and life habits. Brothers and sisters, in spiritual things, this matter of eating, tasting, there's so many meanings to it. I want to say simply, like, for example, you like to hear messages. You like to hear those that have a lot of jokes and stories and testimonies, because when you hear of it, you feel that it's interesting. It's good. That's a good message. To read spiritual books is the same way. If there's something deep and mysterious, we don't want to read that. We want to read books that don't cause us headaches. We want to read the ones that are easy to read, and it causes us to feel happy. We need to pay attention to that which we eat. If you have developed such a habit, then it will harm your spiritual life. It will harm your spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, this is not just doctrine. This is very practical. When I speak of this, you understand. Young brothers and sisters, you understand this. And what they lived in changed. Previously, they lived in houses, but now tents. Everybody lived in tents. Now in a tent. What is good is that when it's time to go, you go. You pick up your tent and you go. Because for heavenly people, you need to walk. This all has spiritual meaning within it. Today, when you follow the Lord, do you have energy? I'll never forget when I moved from Vancouver to Seattle. It was so quick and easy, even though we lived for about 3 years with two boxes, two luggages, we left. When we crossed the border, I said to my wife, I hope that in the future days, when God says go, we can go. When we came to Seattle and we put down roots, last time when we moved, my goodness, we had so much things. We had so many things. It caused my wife to be so full of headache because we had so many things. We had to throw away so many things. And our daily lives have been in bondage by things. Of course, these are outward, external things. That's not most important. Today, I want to ask brothers and sisters, when you follow the Lord, do you follow him quickly, or are you shackled by many things that you cannot move anymore? In your daily life, if you are in bondage by many, many things, and you want to live a spiritual life, can you move quickly and easily, lightly? We need to have this attitude. We know that the Lord's return is very near. On that day, the Lord returns, and the angels want to bring you, and they want to take you, and you have no worries, and you're able to go. Then, brothers and sisters, my heart, I am prepared. If the Lord is coming now, and the angels say, go, I can go. But I think, oh, I still have this car. Oh, I still have this thing at home. Brothers and sisters, do you remember Lot's wife? This is a huge warning to us. Why does she look back? Because there were many things that she, in her heart, was unwilling to let go of. She became a pillar of salt. Brothers and sisters, today, if the Lord has returned, can you put down everything and go? Doesn't matter where you are. But you say, Lord, wait, wait, I need to go back. I need to get something. Then you will be shackled. Brothers and sisters, today I want to encourage brothers and sisters, in our daily life, we need to change our living habits. Paul says, use things as if you're not using it. John says, do not love the world. You can use it, but do not love it. God wanted to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. Do you know how difficult it was? 40 years in the wilderness. He was doing this work of changing their lifestyle, their daily habits. Do you understand? This change, all the way, the entire journey, the people were complaining. And God said to Moses, they have complained 14 times, complained about 14 different things to me. Have you complained before God? God wants to change our habits. We don't like it. We like to go according to our own habits. Brothers and sisters, to have a good lifestyle, living, we need to have good daily habits. At the end, when Israel was about to enter into Canaan, there is a book called Deuteronomy. They were at the border of the land of Canaan. Again, they were told, when you enter into Canaan, you cannot live according to the Canaanites. You cannot have their habits, their lifestyle. But we know the history of the Old Testament that the Israelites had a great failure. What was their failure? They followed the habits of the Gentiles. The habits of the Canaanites now influenced them. Now they started to worship Baal. Brothers and sisters, they wanted to be married to the people of Canaan, and their life changed. God said, "You are a holy people. How can you be mixed with these things?" Brothers and sisters, all of the Old Testament history tells us the people's lifestyle of this world has overcome the people of God. So today, if you and I, our lifestyle is being led by the world, and you want to live a heavenly life, it will be difficult. Again, I want to say, these good habits will influence you individually. I need to separate this into two sections. Today, I'm just going to speak individually. Next time, we'll talk about the corporate meeting habits, the habits of the corporate body. That's also very important. Do not look lightly upon it. First off, personally, individually, our personal habits, if they are not changed, brothers and sisters, it will influence you personally. And even more tragically, it will impact other brothers and sisters, and you will lead astray other people. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to pursue after being useful in God's hands. In order to do that, I want to remind you again, I hope, brothers and sisters, you will have this ambition. We want the Lord to lay hold of more of me so that you have this mindset, you have this strong desire, and you would be willing to pay the price to follow the Lord. Otherwise, it would be very difficult. Brothers and sisters, we need to know that if you pay this little bit of price, God's grace will be even greater for you, that the Lord will establish you. Don't be afraid, because this is not according to your own will. According to our will, our wills are all different. Some people have a weaker will. Some people have a stronger will. Many people in this world have very, very strong wills. They want to do something, and they will strongly achieve it, and they will change themselves. I acknowledge my will is very weak. And since my will is very weak, sometimes my zeal is only for 5 minutes, and then it's gone. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. Perhaps you have only had 5 minutes in wanting to pursue in such a way. But no, Lord, brothers and sisters, no need to use your own human will. Now let's talk about our individual daily habits. There are some important points, some important daily habits. May this be a mutual encouragement to all of us. The first discipline or the first habit, like the Jews, they have this habit of fasting. Today, most people do not have this habit. Some people do, but not many. I have said before, this discipline cannot create life. It's not that you, because you have fasted twice, or in a month, you have fasted so many times, and now you are spiritual. Brothers and sisters, no. You cannot put this together with spirituality. Fasting is a good habit. It's a good discipline. It can help your daily life. However, fasting in and of itself cannot make you more spiritual. Let me tell you this. Some people have used this to make it into a sign of spirituality. I fasted today. And then we find that that person is so amazing, but it doesn't make them more spiritual. So fasting, the Bible does mention that the Jews, they do have this discipline. Now in our daily lives, these things that have something to do with us, that we also have devotion time, morning devotions, or morning watch. We know that for students, This is something very difficult. It's a challenge for them. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell brothers and sisters, this morning devotion is not a truth, nor is it God's command. Our brothers have shared with us, this is not God's command. To rise early and to sleep early is a good habit. To have morning watch is also a good habit. It will not make you more spiritual, but it can have some change in your spiritual life. The Bible never encourages us that you have to have morning watch. It will give us some examples of people who got up early, like David. He got up early to praise the Lord, to praise God. That was mentioned. Now, is it that every day you must do this? We see that David, sometimes he slept until noontime. And perhaps he didn't have morning devotion. Did he sin in that way? No. This morning watch or morning devotion is a good habit. We do encourage brothers and sisters to do this. But do forgive me for saying, in the past, brothers often said, get up in the morning. Your mind is the most clear. And your heart is the most simple. It's the best to draw close to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, according to my conscience, I tell you, in the morning, I did not have a clear mind. I was always blurry and cloudy in my mind. When I read the Bible, I read the Bible. I could pray. Yes, when I get up, I would pray. But forgive me for saying, when I was young, oftentimes when I was kneeling, I would fall asleep in my prayers. But for the sake of holding myself up, when people ask me, did you have morning devotions? And I said, no. Then how can you pursue the Lord? I say again, this is not a rule. But I encourage brothers and sisters that in the morning, when you get up, do draw near to the Lord. I can tell you sometimes in the morning, yes, when I'm really confused, the Lord can speak to me. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm quiet before him. I just lay there. And then all of a sudden, a lot of inspiration will come. It is amazing. I have told brothers and sisters that recently I've written two hymns. It's because really, really early in the morning, 5:30 a.m., I'm still kind of in a haze. And all of a sudden, these hymns came. So I got up quickly to write it down. Oftentimes it's like this. I get up early in the morning and all of a sudden there's inspiration and quickly I get up and I go and write it down. My wife doesn't even know where I went. It's because I had to get up a pen. I had to write it down because inspiration came. So if you come to draw near the Lord to the Lord in the morning, it's good. God has created us man. In the book of Genesis, it tells us in the morning it's to work and it's to sleep at night. In this generation, because everything has been turned upside down and broken up. People sleep during the day and wake at night. Everything is turned upside down. And so now our health is very poor. But yes, it is good. It's healthy for us to get up early and to go to bed early. And those who are physicians also encourage us that we need to do this. Brothers and sisters, to get up early in the U.S. as a country, they're still pretty good. One time, I sent my son really, really early, 5 a.m. I took him to the airport. I got there, and I realized there were so many cars. There were many people who still get up early. Some people work very early. Perhaps it's not for morning devotions, but it's go to work early. At 4 a.m., they got up. So there are many people who get up early. It's nothing that amazing. So as Christians, nothing to boast in for you to get up early. This is just something for you personally, to be a habit for you. I encourage brothers and sisters, I encourage you. If you can get up early to have morning watch, it is a good thing. We still agree to have morning devotions in the morning. Secondly, we need to have a habit of reading the Bible. we need to have this discipline of reading the Bible. Of course, in this discipline, it is difficult. When I was young, when the older brothers told us that every day you need to read 3 chapters of the Old Testament and 1 chapter of the New Testament, and 1 year you can read the entire Bible one time. Have you ever heard brothers and sisters who say this? At that time, I said, okay, yes, 3 chapters Old Testament, 1 chapter of the New. But I never developed this habit. This lasted for 1 to 2 weeks. And one day, oops, I didn't read. So I said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to read 6 chapters. I'm just going to make it up. Second day, I had to read 6 chapters. But then, oh no, later on, after 5-6 days that I skipped, that I didn't read, every day the numbers just added up. And then finally I gave up. After a period of time, when the responsible brothers who led us encouraged us and I needed to start again, this was something that I could only do for 5 minutes to develop this habit of reading every single day. Brothers and sisters, we do need to have this. I know some elderly brothers, they have this habit. I really admire them. Some people can read 5 chapters and never change all year long. We need to know this is not easy. It's not easy. When you read in this way, you will know. For myself, I thank the Lord for his mercy. Even though I haven't established this habit of every day, daily reading, but because of my service, I need to read the Bible. God used service to train me, to discipline me, to such a point. Just like Psalms chapter 1, that day and night I would meditate on his word, on his laws, because I have many messages I have to speak. If I do not meditate on God's words, then I can't get by. And then this became my habit, to meditate on his laws day and night. When I was younger, sometimes, even at night, I was preaching at night. That no matter what, and all of a sudden the inspiration came. This was through environment, through service, that he gave me this discipline so that I would read God's words. Sometimes I would have to read an entire book. And sometimes it would be reading just a few verses, not an entire book. So even though I did not have this daily habit, I do admire many others who have this habit of reading scripture every single day. We do need to have this discipline within it. And in scripture, we do know the story of Mary, right? Mary had this habit. She would oftentimes repeat in her memory what the angel spoke to her. She would often bring it to mind. Even though the Bible does not tell us that there is this habit, but Mary had this habit that she would often bring to mind these things. And so we know that there's some brothers and sisters, when they listen to a message, they would often bring things back to mind. We know that there's not many people who do this. The majority of people, when they sit there, they would apply their mind, but as soon as they stand up, they would forget everything. Isn't that so? After we've listened to so many messages, how many have you thought about? How many have you gone back to think about? In the past, there was this condition, for example, that after I heard a message, that there were some brothers, there were some good principles in the message that I would oftentimes think back to these messages. I would memorize it. For example, Brother T. Austin Sparks, the spiritual principle is the meaning of Christ. Often to this day, I will have not forgotten it because it's still in my mind. I still think about it. Why? Because this is a very important principle of reading God's word. If you can read out spiritual principles, that it is the meaning of Christ, this is a very good word. This principle, we need to grab a hold of it. These are good words. You need to often repeat these words often. Some things, if you have forgotten it and lost it, it's okay. But there are some words you need to grab a hold of it. It's the same with reading the Bible. Some good words, you need to grab a hold of it. Often repeat it in your mind. I remember an older sister when I was young. She had this habit. She would not read much of scripture. Oftentimes, she would just read one phrase. The whole day, she was repeating that same phrase. So when we heard her share, we were really amazed. When she opened up the scripture, we said, wow, the Bible has such a word in it. Because she has often repeated God's words in her mind and thought about it. And she thought about it so much that she became familiar with it. Brothers and sisters, this is what Hebrews tells us, that now God's word is very thoroughly known by us. This is very important to us. Today, in knowing God's word, we know it, but we are not familiar with it. This is a great hindrance to us. All brothers and sisters can say this, but we are not familiar. So when we were young, there were many such examples. For example, if I were to invite you to my home, we'd be so happy. And then from the freezer, I just pulled out a frozen piece of meat, and I invite you to eat of this. Can you eat it? Today, let's say I invite you over to my home, but our sisters, we know the wives, they take out the frozen meat early in the morning to defrost it. It needs to thaw, and then it needs to be sliced up, and then it needs to be completely cooked thoroughly. And now you have something to eat. I have seen some brothers and sisters, they use God's words in such a way. They take several words and just grab it, but you just took it out of the freezer. It's still frozen. If you take out a popsicle, that's fine, but you can't take frozen meat out. How can you eat frozen meat? And so many things, no wonder. When you speak of it, you have not opened up that word and explained it. It's so hard and frozen solid. We need to be well, thoroughly versed in God's word. We need to have this discipline. Brothers and sisters, I hope that before the Lord personally, you will pursue, expend your effort, and then you can prepare good words. And next, prayer. And in prayer, this also is a discipline. I really admire some people. Every day they have set times in which they pray. This is not easy. Set times to pray. Brothers and sisters, I've told you before of my mother. She had no grace, no gifts. She was a very common sister. But she had a habit every day, 10 a.m., she would pray. Afternoon, 3 p.m., she would pray. If you go into a room, there she is. She's kneeling on the floor. Year after year, daily, it never changed. But we thank the Lord. This was not easy. To have a habit, a discipline of set time for prayer is very, very good. Brothers and sisters, do you remember Daniel? When he encountered problems, he went back to his home, opened up his window, and he faced Jerusalem every day, three times. This was his habit, his daily discipline. Daniel, he was so busy. He was a high official in the nation. He was a man who had to do very important daily work, but three times a day he faced Jerusalem to pray, because in his heart he really loved the Lord. He knelt down before God to seek after the Lord. Each day, three times, pray towards Jerusalem. Daniel had this good spiritual discipline and habit. When you read the Bible, these characters we find, we see how they had such a habit of prayer. Do you remember Nehemiah? The story of Nehemiah? One day, he came before the king of Persia. And the king says, What's wrong? Why is sadness on your face? What happened to you? And the Bible tells us what? Nehemiah silently prayed towards the God of heaven. He had this habit, even standing in front of the king. In his heart, he was looking towards God. He was relying on God. If it were us, we would be all of a sudden confused and chaotic in our minds and in our thoughts. How are we going to explain this? What excuse can we give? But no, Daniel was not like this. In his heart, he immediately prayed towards the God of heaven. In church history, there's another brother who had this habit, Brother F.B. Meyer. He also had this habit. If you were together fellowshipping with F.B. Meyer, he says, oh, brother, let's pause here. Let's pray for 2 minutes. Even in the middle of fellowship, he would stop you and interrupt you, pray a little bit, and then he would continue on in fellowship. You see, these brothers and sisters, at any point in time, at all points of time, they would use prayer in every single aspect of their life. Brothers and sisters, this is a good habit, good discipline. And so when things happen, you do not need to be frantic. You do not need to find somebody to come and help you and to solve the problem. No, if you have good habits, first bring it before the Lord. And so in prayer, whether you have good or poor prayers, it has to do with your spiritual discipline. Brothers and sisters, it looks like these are some extraneous things of our daily lives, but to our spiritual living, the impact is great. We need the Lord to give us these disciplines and training. Of course, there's many different aspects, but these are the things that we can practice. Another aspect is in how we speak, our words. In our speaking, it is also a spiritual discipline, a habit that we need to practice. Some people, they like to speak. For example, in preaching, once they start, they can't stop. Once a microphone is in their hands, they can't let go of it. They keep speaking on and on and on. If everything you speak are the words of life and of edification, that's good. But if it's just dead doctrine and you cannot end, then brothers and sisters, everybody is falling asleep and they can't stand it anymore. They're all asleep and they cannot listen to you anymore. This is a bad habit. Brothers and sisters, today we need to develop this ability to hold our tongue, to watch your words. In your tongue, we need to have a bridle on it. From when I was young, I had to learn because I would see the older brothers and sisters, they really knew how to control their speech and in such a way that was very edifying. Brothers and sisters, when you speak, if it is appropriate, what does the Bible say? It is like apples of gold and settings of silver. It causes us to feel that this is so beautiful. The same within our preaching. When God's inspiration comes and he tells you to stop, you stop. When the Lord's moving gives you more moving, then you speak a little more. And to that amount, this is a very important discipline. One time I asked an older brother, I won't say his name, but I said, why is it that when I hear you preach, that it is so concise? In church life, there's only two people that have given me this impression that when they speak, that when they speak, it's so concise and so clear that immediately that message can become a book. That brother told me, brother, you have to be careful of your daily speaking. Why? They have been trained in such a way. Later on, I found out it is perhaps that they have followed a particular person and have learned. Brother T. Austin Sparks, Brother Sparks, if you go and visit him and you sit there, if you do not speak, he will not speak. He could sit with a brother for 2 hours silently without speaking a word. He would not open up his mouth unless you ask him a question. Then if you don't speak, he won't speak. Later on, I knew Brother Watchman Nee was the same. If you do not speak, he won't speak. They had very strict discipline. Our elderly brother Stephen Kong is the same. In the past, I was really afraid of making a phone call to him. I wanted to call, but I was afraid of calling him. Because when I called him, after I say, hello, are you well, Brother Kong? And then he said, I am well, and that was it. He wouldn't speak. So every time I called, in my heart, I have to think of the questions to ask him. If you don't ask him, there's no sound. It's so awkward. I'd hold that phone and I don't know what to do either. And then there's no sound. There was no word from him, brothers and sisters, because in their discipline, they had learned how to watch their words. They had this habit that they dared not speak carelessly. I acknowledge in this aspect, I have not learned well enough, brothers and sisters. In this aspect, it has to do with something very important that has to do with how we preach and how we speak. Now, I want to speak this clearly, so I have spoken a lot and I've spoken a long time. I hope, brothers and sisters, that this can be clearly spoken to you. So in our words, we need to have good discipline. In these years, I can tell you another brother, another example, another coworker of Brother Sparks. In his preaching, it was very, very unique. I remember one time we asked him to come share with us for a summer conference. In this message, he has 3 points. In each point, he would speak 10 minutes. He's very on time, very prompt. 10 minutes, 1 point, 10 minutes, another point, 10 minutes, the third point, and that was it. And his message concluded. So brothers and sisters, this is another habit that needs to be developed from that point on. Regarding preaching, I needed to watch the time. If you give me 5 minutes, I speak 5 minutes. 50 minutes, but if I could not finish within 50 minutes, I needed to practice. If it's 3 minutes, I need to finish in 3 minutes. No matter how many points, this is a type of discipline. This is also a habit that needs to be developed. If you can develop these disciplines, then in speaking, there's many things that the Lord can use you. This is very important. And so this is a matter of our speech, our words. This is something in which we need to have develop good discipline, good habits. And this also has to do with how we use our time. This is also a very difficult point, that if you can use time well and control your time well, if you have this habit that you can use your own time and use it well to your own spiritual life, it will also be of great benefit. To your service, it will also be of great help. In this matter of time, because there's this matter of whether it's limitless or limited, how are you going to limit your time? We know that many brothers and sisters, when they attend prayer meeting, they have this discipline or this habit. Because when they pray, they do not know how to control the time. But some brothers and sisters, in certain circumstances, there are some prayers. It's been a long time, but it doesn't feel dry at all. I remember there was a time in San Francisco, a brother, that day, he forced me to preach. He said that I had to preach. I preached for about 1 hour. And when I was done, that brother immediately had a prayer. And in his prayer, he also prayed for 1 hour. But in that prayer that day, it was full of the anointing. My entire message, from the beginning to the end, he went over the whole thing. It was a whole hour. But of course, those are very rare experiences. This is a very special, unique experience. But generally speaking, we need to control the time. In controlling the time, it is a matter of your character, brothers and sisters. Remember, it's a matter of your character. In controlling time, it is also a matter of the anointing. When the anointing stops, you need to stop. Brothers and sisters, we see that in our spiritual life, regarding our spiritual discipline and habits, even though God does not want you to have a set dead form of tradition and that you follow another person's form and use their habit as a standard and you try to practice that, you do not need to do that. But brothers and sisters, this is another very important point. The seventh point is regarding service. In service, we also need to have good spiritual discipline. Do you remember? Let me give you an example. Remember Paul, at the end when he had to go to Rome, and he went through a storm, and that boat crashed upon that island. And that island, they built a fire to stay warm. And at that time, he was picking up some firewood. And all of a sudden, a poisonous snake came out and bit him. And Paul just shook his hand. And then he shook the snake into the fire and it died. This is a very, very small story. But here it tells us something. That Paul, in his service, it became such a habit. He had a habit of serving man. At any point in time, he could serve. This is very natural. It's not that he was on purpose trying to do something for show, but in his daily life, he had this habit and discipline of serving others. He would pick up sticks. He would do anything to serve. Sometimes in our daily life, we do not have good habits. There are some brothers and sisters, forgive me for saying, let me give you a very plain example. Because when we talk about habits, there's so many things in our daily lives. For example, you go to the bathroom, you use a faucet, and you get water everywhere. And everywhere on the counter, you have water. And then after you use it, you leave. Some brothers and sisters are not like that. They have this habit, after they use the facilities, they use a paper towel and dry everything. Dry everything, make it clean. This is a very good habit. An elderly sister in the past, she would live with other sisters, and after she'd take a shower, she had to wipe clean that entire shower so that the next person could use it. Brothers and sisters, what is this? It's not that you're trying to force yourself to discipline yourself to try to do these things, but no, Paul's service was completely a natural habit of his. In church service is the same. Brothers and sisters, we need to develop these good habits and discipline. I have given you all of these examples. Of course, in your daily life, perhaps the Lord still has many lessons for you. Now, later on, if the Lord allows, you can also share your experiences of how the anointing has been teaching you. That together with brothers and sisters, we could share this with one another. That in spiritual life, spiritual living, we need to remember these four important keys. First, we need to have life. Without life, you cannot go through living. Second, because you have life, you will have a living. Now that you have a living, you will have daily habits, and these habits will affect your living. But these disciplines and habits need to be trained. You need to go through discipline to have these habits, starting from your morning devotions. It can be very difficult at first, but as you've been trained and exercised through several months, it can become your habit. Just the same with exercise. You need to train. It's a discipline. It's hard. If you do not exercise this discipline, it's very difficult. Let me tell you a very practical example from my life, because I don't like to go out and walk. My son sees me that all day long I'm sitting at home on this chair. And so he bought a treadmill for me. He says, okay, then get on the treadmill, Dad. Walk on it. And then I realize every day, because I have to walk on that treadmill, I need to have patience and endurance. It takes endurance and training and practice and habit. And every day I have to walk on it. I walk for 2 days and then I stop 2 days. It's difficult to develop this habit. This endurance, this habit, this practice takes time. We need to discipline faith. All of our godliness is living. We follow the Holy Spirit's leading in us because it is living. And so when I talk about this habit and discipline, don't misunderstand that it is a set and dead form. It will become a tradition. And we do not use our habits to be a boast, to try to encourage other people to do that. No, what God wants is something living. But brothers and sisters, without good habits, your spiritual life will for sure often have failures. I do find many brothers and sisters love the Lord. They have no difficulty in loving the Lord. Their heart is towards the Lord. But regarding their habits pull them down. And so this time with brothers and sisters, together, we want to have this pursuit that the Lord will lay hold of more of us, gain more of us, that in our spiritual habits that we will begin to pursue. So today, I have spoken of the individual. If the Lord allows next time, we will speak of this corporately. Now, forgive me, I did not control the time well today. Previously, I wanted to speak on Colossians chapter 1, but let me just simply mention it. I'm just going to conclude here regarding our individual spiritual habits, but let me pause here. Brothers and sisters, do you have any questions? A sister has a question. First, at the beginning, when you talked about spiritual discipline, you talked about fasting. And I've also heard some older brothers mention that fasting needs to be beneath the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then you need to have such a burden. Or perhaps that there's a particular special circumstance where you need to fast. Something needs release of a particular burden. And this also needs to be a discipline or a habit. Is there any conflict when there is no leading of the Holy Spirit? Brother Sun now answers and says, the Jews, they have this habit that every week they need to fast twice. In the Old Testament time, this has become their Jewish tradition. And so at a particular time, they need to strictly follow this rule. And in the Old Testament, we know that discipline of fasting, there are various particular times. In the New Testament, there are also some New Testaments for the sake of the kingdom of God. For the will of God to be accomplished in sharing the gospel, because there's a sense of urgency that they would also fast. Gradually, this also became a habit or rule. I know that in China, many brothers and sisters would often fast and pray. But brothers and sisters, I want to emphasize here that today, this is but a habit. It's not truth. It's not a commandment. Today, the majority of brothers and sisters, very few would fast. You do need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need to follow the Spirit, the anointing within you to fast. Then that is even better. Because in the Old Testament time, you just try because of urgency for the work, for the sake of the work of God. And that you are trying to fulfill a vow or you're trying to express yourself in your urgency towards God. But you do not want to make fasting something like the Jews, to make it into something that has no meaning. God wants you to do something according to its meaning. It needs to be something that is living. Brothers and sisters, when we come to these end days, we find that the condition on earth, yes, it is very chaotic. The church is in great difficulty. And if God gives you a very strong sense of urgency for you to fast and pray, that's very good. If it is developed into a very good habit, of course, that's good. But yes, it's a habit, but we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This needs to be something that is living, not something that is a dead work. So brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention to this. Thank you, sister, for your question. Now let me go on and share a little bit regarding developing these habits. It's not from now on. We have set these rules for ourselves that we need to do these things. Paul already tells us that I try to do the good, but I cannot do it. Paul, who has such a strong will, he could not hold fast to it. If you try to use your strong will to hold on, you cannot. So how do we develop these habits? In the New Testament, this is all according to grace. Grace is first and foremost. All these things that we do, if it is beneath grace, it is easy. Without grace, and you try, it is hard. I remember when I was young, and the brothers, during vacation time, when we had our youth gatherings, we all lived at home. We had morning devotion, 6 a.m. And at 5 a.m., I had to get up. To a young child, this was very difficult. And the requirements of our daily life, today you have an alarm. At that time, we didn't even have an alarm clock. In order to get up, it was so difficult. I had a watch. And every hour I had to look at it because I was so afraid of oversleeping. And at night, I had to get up. Oh, it's only been 2 hours. I'd sleep for 2 hours. And then I'd wake up and look at the watch. And so I could not sleep all night long. And so that I could get up at 5 a.m. And I would get up and I was so confused and cloudy, muddy. Just I couldn't get up. But then later on, I would pray at night. I really did have this desire before the Lord. That was good. I loved the Lord. I was encouraged by the love of the Lord. I said, Lord, I have no alarm clock. Do please wake me up in time at the morning. And it was amazing. For a period of time, every morning at 5 a.m., the Lord would wake me up. I was awake. I didn't need an alarm. And I slept really well. So brothers and sisters, regarding spiritual things, God isn't going to say that I want you to do this. Go do it. No, God has grace. We need to have faith. In developing spiritual habits, there are several important points we need to remember. First, we need the attraction and the pull of his love. Do you remember the Song of Solomon? Lord, you kiss me with the kisses of your mouth so that I may run quickly after you. If his love is attracting you, you will run quickly. Love is a great motivation. We need to have a heart that loves the Lord. If you do not love the Lord and we want you to develop spiritual habits, then it is absolutely of no meaning. If you have a heart that loves the Lord and you want his love to fill you to do something, then it will not be difficult. The same in our daily lives. If you love a person and you want to do something for somebody, then you are so full of joy in wanting to do this. And if you need to get up in the middle of the night, you will. As a mother, because you love your child, because you love your children, it doesn't matter what suffering you have to go through, you will do it. Often as mothers, after a period of time, you will forget the suffering of bringing up your children. Why? Because you love your children. So first, we ask the Lord to allow us to oftentimes live in the life of fellowship of his love. Secondly, we need to have the love of spiritual things. If you do not love spiritual things, and it's only a commandment, a rule, and it's just a matter of form, then it is so full of bitterness. We need to love spiritual things. Towards spiritual things, we need to have discernment. You're willing to humble yourself before the Lord to receive his leading. We need to have spiritual love. If you have such a desire for the Lord and you have such a love for the Lord, then of course, thirdly, you are willing to be disciplined, even if you are not disciplined well, but be willing. If you have a willing heart, the Lord will establish you. He will do it. So we hope that the Lord will give us such a desire and ambition. I have spoken enough today. So regarding spiritual habits and developing of these habits, I have given you a fellowship and sharing on this. And following will be for you yourself. I hope you will have this desire. Have this desire to pursue. Now for our next gathering in April. Brother Andrew, do we have a date yet? We do not have a date yet. So April, can we do April 24? Saturday, April 24. On that day, as we begin, we will ask the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to memorize Colossians chapter 1. I've given you a little bit more time now, so Colossians chapter 1. And everyone, we ask all brothers and sisters to memorize it. And I've said before that my sister, my wife, she has memorized. And so if you can do it, whether or not you can memorize in its entirety doesn't matter, but whether you memorize it or not, there's a huge difference. So expend some effort. So next time, right after we pray, we will ask the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to lead us in memorizing Colossians chapter 1. And then after that, starting from today, Some brothers and sisters perhaps have already begun to be prepare a notebook for yourself, that during this period of time, the times and the stories of how you have followed the anointing within you, write down those stories. Whether you are young or old, or even brothers and sisters who serve, if you have had good experiences, we hope that you would not hold back and that you would be willing to fellowship. And we do give you the limitation of 10 minutes, at most 10 minutes. Do allow to give me this authority that if you exceed 10 minutes, that I will cut you off. At most 10 minutes. Because it is also a habit for us to exercise this limitation of time. If it's beneath 10 minutes, don't worry, but you cannot exceed 10 minutes. If possible, that before April 24th, that in each location, let me know beforehand so that I could have this order. If I just open up the time, I'm afraid that it would be more difficult to control the time. So each time about 2 to 3 people, so that as we continue on, there will be many different opportunities that we will ask brothers and sisters to give us some testimony sharing. And then later on, towards the end, I will continue on to share on, I will share with a little bit shorter amount of time how to develop spiritual habits corporately in our meeting life. And I will also use the book of Colossians as my sharing. So this will be our next gathering. So I hope you can all remember. So today, our time is about up. If there are any other suggestions from brothers and sisters or any other questions, okay. If there's no particular suggestions, there is a comment from a sister. Brother Sun asks her sister to save it for next time, save her sharing for next time, because we need to hold fast to the time. We have a few minutes now. Can we now pray before the Lord? According to your burden, we'll ask a few saints to help us conclude with prayer. And please remember to unmute as you pray.
Yes. Work for your good pleasure. God, just help us in our weakness, and then just how easily we turn to idols, fix our eyes on Jesus. Thank you again, and we pray for better habits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for this chance, even though we have failed so many times, so many years, but Lord, as soon as we still have today, we know that you are giving us opportunity to pursue you, to know you more, and to be more conformed into your image. Lord, we thank you. We truly bow down and worship you. You are our God, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. We pray that by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to form the good spiritual habit in our life, that we can be a vessel of blessing, that we can be useful tool in your hands, Lord. Lord, yes. Your house will be filled with your glory. Thank you, Lord, in this precious name. Amen.
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 It's good, Jesus, and we thank you for giving us this opportunity that we can together pursue you. Again, Lord, we've been pursuing you, Lord. Lord, we desire to be gained by you. So we ask to work in our life. There are so many bad habits that we have, but we pray that you will use this opportunity. Help us by your grace, Lord, that we build up good spiritual habits, Lord, so that you can obtain us, you can gain us for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we know we are weak. Oftentimes we make resolutions, but we couldn't do it. Lord, we know our desire. We put our desire before you. We know in you we can do all things. So, Lord, we just pray that you help us, help every one of us here that through this pursuit, Lord, together we will build our good habit that your kingdom can be advanced through us. Thank you, Jesus. Your precious name, I pray.
Amen.
Lord, we prostrate ourselves to worship you. We thank you because before you there is fullness of joy. All things before you is living. We thank you. You are our life. And together we live with you. We truly worship you and praise you. We are in your hands. And all glory be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you with all our hearts because your grace is forever sufficient for us. Lord, you know our weakness and our nature, and yet you have chosen us. So we pray that you would give us a heart that loves you and is willing to place ourselves into your hand because you so desire to gain us. Only once you have gained us, then your abundance can be expressed through us, and then your glory can be manifested. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us such a desire and ambition that we would pursue so that we may be gained by you. We place every brother and sister into your gracious hands. We acknowledge that we are unable, but we thank you. You are a God who is able to establish and build up man. You have built up and established so many people in the past. In the same way today, you can also gain us. You have brought many out of their bad habits, but in spiritual things, you were able to build up good spiritual habits and discipline within them that in their generation, they could not only be a blessing to you, but be a blessing to many people. And so in our hearts, we are so full of hope and desire As we begin today, may you continue to watch over and protect us, that every brother and sister today, we place them into your gracious hands. Thank you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. This will conclude today's meeting. So do remember, April 24th, we will see each other then. And I hope on that day we will reap much, and let's mutually encourage one another. Thank the Lord. The Lord watch over and protect you. Goodbye.